parallels between what goes on with Jesus, what happened with Peter, and what happens with Paul. And that continuity shows the connections between Jesus' ministry and what happens in the early church. So this is an important element of what the gospel and Acts is all about. Now, I actually regard Luke as one of the more neglected, in fact, the most neglected of the gospels. And the reason is the history of the way the gospels worked. In the earliest church, the two most popular gospels were Matthew and John. And then starting in the 18th century and certainly in the 19th and 20th century, the belief among scholars was that Mark was the first of the gospels written. This put a focus on Mark as well. Luke has kind of been the orphan in the group, just sitting there all by himself, even though he writes more of it, more about Jesus than anybody else. He gives us 50% of the parables that we have about Jesus are only in Luke, that kind of thing. And yet he got swallowed up by the interest that was directed towards the other gospels. And then, of course, Acts got separated from Luke when the canon was created. So rather than getting Luke-Acts, which was designed as two volumes, we got the separation of Luke being placed among the Gospels and Acts being seen as early history with that separation. And so we lost the literary linkage between Luke and Acts. But in the last century, there's been a lot of attention to the fact that Luke and Acts actually belong together as one work. And so part of what we're going to be looking at is the theology of Luke and Acts and how it fits together and how the two volumes actually make for a whole story. Now, what's the purpose of these volumes? Well, the core purpose of these volumes is assurance. And that really is an important idea because Christianity was the new boy on the block. In fact, originally, it didn't even look like Christianity. Originally, it looked like a sect or a particular form of Jewish belief. It took a while and all the sociological dynamics that made the church distinct to give it a distinct identity. And in religious thought in the ancient world, it's not what's new that's really important, unlike our modern world, but it's what's old, what kind of has been time-tested. And so what's new doesn't really work, but if something has a heritage, then it does. So what Luke Acts does is to show how what happened with Jesus was part of a program and plan of God that goes way, way back to old promises and try to establish, if you will, the pedigree of Christian faith as being rooted in the plan of God for a long, long time, going back to covenant commitments made to Abraham, to David, and then the hope of the new covenant. So these things really do drive the book. And there are two things that are particular that are surprises. One is the death of Jesus, and the second is Gentile inclusion. The death of Jesus was a surprise because most people thought the Messiah would come and be a figure of terrific power. And they kind of, I call him Arnold Schwarzenegger, a Messiah. You know, he crushes the enemy and he will be back. But then the other part is a Gentile inclusion theme, the idea that Jews and Gentiles will be part of the same sociological group, given their history of estrangement, was a problem for the early church because most people didn't think that kind of racial mix would work. And so Luke is trying to defend the idea that Gentile inclusion was also part of the program of God, along with the suffering Messiah. So giving assurance about these things, showing that Christianity is old, showing that the suffering of the Messiah is no surprise, and showing that Gentile inclusion was in the mind of God all along, all these things fit into what we are dealing with in the book of Luke-Acts. Now let's deal with some standard themes of introduction. Let's start with the authorship of the book, the idea that Luke is the author. And really this comes through a process of deduction on the one hand and the organization of tradition and the unanimity of tradition on the other. It was the consistent testimony of the early church that all the Gospels represented a form of apostolic memoir. Justin in his Dialogues 103:19 makes the point that the Gospels are an apostolic memoir. That doesn't identify our author, but it does establish the connection very early on that these Gospels are a part of a tradition that reaches back into the apostolic testimony about Jesus. Then we get the mention of Luke as author in works like the Muratorian Canon and Irenaeus. Irenaeus is writing towards the end of the second century. We also have the we sections of Acts.